Now, you've been taught that the birthplace of the human race is Earth, but it's not.
Do you know what this will do to people when they find out the truth?
I don't think that most people would want to know the truth.
I do.
You may not know me, but I know you. And I'm aware how strange that sounds.
Hey guys, and welcome to The Fiction Fix, a Screen Junkie's guide to everything. Your one-stop shop for film, TV, and everything in between. I'm Rohan.
I'm Ben.
And today we're going to be doing a review of the brand new blockbuster movie starring Mila Kunis and Channing Tatum, Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what to expect going into this film, Rohan.
I feel like I kind of knew what to expect based on the trailer. I expected a very, like, schmaltzy Hollywood blockbustery movie that just kind of pandered to the audience.
Yeah, I mean, the trailer really showed that there was a lot of CGI. That's exactly what they were going to write off.
I think that that was the big selling point of this movie.
And I think Mila Kunis returning to the screen and Channing Tatum as well as kind of an albino-esque character kind of enticed a few people. And Eddie Redmayne, obviously, as an Oscar-nominated and probably maybe soon-to-be Oscar winner.
I mean, potentially, if the Golden Globes were any indicator.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that kind of casting choice, with Sean Bean as well thrown in the mix, it enticed audiences to come to the cinemas.
And yeah, definitely.
Other than that, though, we never really understood exactly what we were in for.
No, and I feel like that is a little bit typical of this movie as a whole. I feel like, generally, after seeing it, I still didn't understand what I was in for. Yeah. So I think the movie had a lot of things that it really needed to kind of improve on. And I don't think that I was surprised at all by what I found when I went into the movie. But I think that, actually, no, I take that back. I was a little bit surprised. It was a little bit worse than I thought it was going to be.
But before we get started, how about we give a little bit of synopsis of the film itself. So the film obviously stars Mila Kunis and Channing Tatum, and it's a really complex, convoluted plot that I'm not sure they really thought out very well. But it's about Channing Tatum coming to find Mila Kunis, who is an illegal alien in the US from Russia, whose father has died and passed away, and now she's working as a janitor or a maid in people's houses. And Channing Tatum comes to find her. She finds out she's this intergalactic princess. And now all of a sudden, intergalactic royalty are coming to find her and use her for their own personal gain.
Yeah, look, I think that this movie had a lot going on. And I think that that was one of its biggest fatal flaws. I think that in terms of the way that the plot was structured, it definitely didn't follow a specific form. And
Let's be honest. It was a mess.
It really was. In terms of like the way that Wikipedia describes the movie, the genre it's given it is space opera.
Has it actually?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And I think that in terms of just the amount of hyperbolic and like over-exaggerated drama in the movie, that genre title is kind of very appropriate.
Space opera. Was it like soap opera, but in space?
Space, yeah.
That's incredible. Wow.
I think that, but shows like Cowboy Bebop and stuff have also been given a similar genre. And so I think that it's important to distinguish the fact that Cowboy Bebop and Jupiter Ascending are very different.
Yeah.
Like space depictions. Like, I understand what the Wachowskis were going for in terms of making this movie. And Lana and Andy Wachowski have quite a large, successful repertoire under their belts.
Yeah, I mean, they started off with The Matrix and The Matrix series.
Yeah, which is really good. And then they went on to less successful movies. Like
Speed Racer.
Yeah, like Cloud Atlas.
So their run after The Matrix hasn't been particularly admirable.
Yeah, I think that the Wachowskis have generally proven that they are trying to become the new pioneers in science fiction. Like, they want to be Ridley Scott, pretty much.
But really? I mean, this film doesn't really show any Ridley Scott-esque features.
Mainly because they really just tried to do too much in here.
I think, they tried to go for a Christopher Nolan Interstellar-style plot, even though, obviously, Interstellar came out during post-production for this film. They kind of went for that sort of theme with the convoluted plot and subplot.
Yeah.
And they tried to fit so much into one picture that they just forgot which way they were leading.
The structure of the movie, actually, now that you say, I'm kind of thinking about it. The structure of the movie really did mimic Interstellar a little bit in the way that Interstellar kind of had three acts. And Jupiter Ascending definitely had four acts, I would say. Basically, one act for each main character, pretty much. Like one act for each sibling. The first act mainly followed Mila Kunis and Channing Tatum, and then you know, the second one kind of followed the sister, the third one followed Douglas Booth's character, mm-hmm. and then the final one followed Eddie Redmayne's character.
Yeah.
And I think that in the way that they kind of split up what happened in the film, it resembles Interstellar slightly, where the first act of Interstellar is about Matthew McConaughey, the second one is more about Jessica Chastain, and the third one is about all the characters kind of as a whole.
Yeah. But
I think that that's where the similarities end.
Yeah, we've got to not put these as parallels.
Yeah, because I feel like Interstellar definitely took all of those ideas and that info and that complicated plot and did a lot with it. Every part of Interstellar, every facet of that movie worked to complement the other facets.
But we have got to separate them because Jupiter Ascending was never intending on being Interstellar in the slightest. I mean, the theme and the tone was obviously very different. But in terms of structurally, they were going for a similar sort of easy structure. But the plots that they tried to employ were just way too convoluted and not executed in the clean fashion that Interstellar was. And that's all down to the directing and the writing. The actors did as well as they could with their roles, but the writing itself it didn't know what it wanted to be, what type of genre, or what type of story that it wanted to be. So
was
it
a comedy? Was it a drama? Interstellar definitely did that a lot better. Jupiter Ascending was very much about, like, hey, we're kind of being a little bit dramatic, but then also Channing Tatum just made a joke about being a dog. And, like, I think that in terms of directorial authority and, like, choices.
Yeah.
I mean, it's generally very hard to pinpoint exactly who is responsible for a film not being great.
Yeah.
But, and I hate to say this because it's quite harsh, but the Wachowskis both directed, produced, and wrote this movie.
So, yeah.
So they do take on almost all of the blame for it being quite subpar.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they were the final filters to go through with the writing, directing, and the producing.
With such large creative influence on the movie, that's the risk you run in both writing, directing, and producing one movie, where if it's not great, you will get the blame for it.
I mean, the Wachowskis are no strangers to going big or going home.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw that with The Matrix. We saw that with Cloud Atlas and Speed Racer. And yes, it sometimes hits, it sometimes misses, mostly misses. And this film, as a whole, is probably a little bit of a miss. A little bit askew of what they wanted. I mean, we went into this movie thinking that it was going to be one thing, and it kind of went a little bit too far in that direction, I guess.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be a really explosive, CGI-filled film with not much going on in terms of depth of plot, and it kind of went a little bit too far that way.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when there are so many different chase scenes in a movie that there's just not going to be no hope.
And just so much that wasn't explained either. A lot of little subplots that kind of ended without any conclusion. And it wasn't really well thought out. And that's what I have to say about this film and the Wachowskis in their writing style generally, is that they don't generally think things out as much as they should have, or as much as they did in the Matrix.
Yeah, I think that, and I was saying this to you before, as soon as we like walked out, as we were kind of walking out of the cinema and walking, you know, out to get my car. Just that this movie had a lot of flaws, but one of the major ones was just the amount of leaps of logic that it took.
Absolutely.
In terms of trying to connect all of the different elements of the story, where, I mean, at one point, Channing Tatum and Mila Kunis would be running, and then they would jump, and then they would cut to them being safe in the spaceship. Or they would start talking about how, you know, all of this massive stuff about the human race and, you know, the extinction of the dinosaurs, and then the next minute there'd be a chase scene. And they would just leave stuff unresolved.
And again, I saw a similar problem with Jupiter Ascending as I did with 50 Shades, with all these really awkward cuts and edits.
Yeah.
They were very, very minimal, the length of the shots.
Well, I think that Jupiter Ascending actually did it worse than 50 Shades, because I noticed them more in this movie than I did in 50 Shades.
I think it was because in 50 Shades there wasn't much else going on around them.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a bit more of a stark floor, whereas in Jupiter Ascending there was so much going on, and that you saw these, the cuts were just so awkward and weirdly timed, and you saw that probably about 17 different angles taken, and probably about a millisecond for each shot. It was really weird and really awkward, didn't really mesh well with the entire film, and it really ruined the flow of every scene.
Yeah, there's also generally a point where you see at least one slow-mo scene in a movie and you think to yourself, oh, that's where they were going with this. Like, there are a whole lot of slow-mo scenes in this where Channing Tatum does black backflips or, like, jumps through the air to catch something or...
Which is fine if it's done right.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of creating an effective action scene, slow-mo scenes I find to be a little bit of a grasp, like a little bit of a reach. And I found them in this movie especially to be like, hey, look at us, we're using special effects.
Do you think it's a bit of a cop-out?
I do. And I think that this movie kind of sold itself on special effects. The special effects became its selling point.
Oh, 100%.
In
terms,
like, I mean, in the same way, it not as dramatic in a way as James Cameron sold there. Not in as a dramatic way as James Cameron sold Avatar on special effects.
No, that's because he spent 10 years on it.
Yeah, but I think definitely in terms of making this movie what it was, the Wachowskis definitely made sure that the special effects, you know, the way that they portrayed space and planets and futuristic technology became one of the bigger portions of the movie.
Absolutely. Well, it ended up being the biggest portion of the movie because the final scene, the final all these explosions and lights and color have been the zero plot.
I found a lot of the action scenes in this movie to be very reminiscent of Snyder in Man of Steel. A lot of destruction of buildings, special effects for special effects' sake, not really adding anything to the plot.
But the difference is that Snyder had a direction of where he was going. He had a rounded out plot, and this was a conclusion to this massive plot that he had already set up to.
Yeah.
And it had a very distinct tone.
Mm.
Whereas Jupiter Ascending had this massive plot that they had beforehand. In fact, a whole load of different plots that they had beforehand, trying to mesh it all together in this final scene, trying to jam the square peg into the circular hole. And it didn't really fit at all. And also, the tone was very different. There are a whole host of different colours, different emotions, and you're just not sure how to feel in certain circumstances or where to look, to be honest.
I found a lot of the things in this movie, especially things like the fashion and the technology, to be very reminiscent of sci-fi movies from, like, the 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Very over-the-top, very weird, and very unusual. While I think that recently we've seen a trend in sci-fi to go towards being quite modern and current, as opposed to, and quite sleek and elegant, like normal fashion is now, as opposed to being quite like over the top and grandiose. And I mean, there's one particular dress that Mila Kunis wore, I'm talking about, where she wears a headpiece as well.
Yeah.
And it's just very kind of off-putting and weird. And I think that science fiction movies, especially now when we live in an age where we're learning a whole lot more about the universe, and I mean, in 10 years, less than 10 years, we're planning on setting up a colony on Mars, that these things need to be less foreign and alienating is such a great word to use now, but talking about aliens, but I think it needs to be less alienating and a little bit more, you know, just normal.
I think what you need to understand, not you, Rohan, but just you as in a general human being, needs to understand is that when you have a lot of CGI and when you're trying to make a film with a lot of CGI, you need two very important things. You need a plot and you need people who can do very good CGI.
Yeah.
This film didn't really have either.
I mean, what's that word that we talk about in terms of like making things seem a little bit more realistic? Verisimilitude. Verisimilitude is an English technique that people use in terms of talking about making things a little bit more realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in terms of making this the most verisimilitudinous movie that you possibly can make.
Is that a word?
Yeah, apparently. I think that they really kind of missed the mark because it became very hard when the movie is so alienating and so juxtaposing and like, you know, off-putting to be able to relate to the characters. Mm-hmm. And there were several climactic moments in the film where you had to feel, you're supposed to feel, you know, anxious or nervous or scared for Mila Kunis and, you know, lovelorn and kind of lost for Channing Tatum and, you know, scared and fearful and nervous. But that catharsis just never happened. Like,
it's because you don't know what's going on. Like, they jump to weird
scenes. I mean, several points in that movie, we kind of turned to each other and said, like, I don't understand what's happening right now. And we watch a lot of movies. Like, we watch things with very complicated plot lines, but this was just way too over the top.
It's too much. Your senses are getting flooded, but your brain isn't being stimulated.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a very important point. Just that they put so much, like, when you give the average person a, like, overload of content, I mean, you're not going to get as much out of it as you could. If you're sitting there being like, looking at all of your ideas and being like, idea, 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 and there are so many ideas kind of coming at you, you're only going to pick up on a couple of them.
I mean, you can have very good movies that have a load of different themes, but the problem with this film is that the ideas that they employ were only half-assed. They were half-finished.
Yeah, that's very true.
They weren't rounded out and they weren't polished off, whereas, you know, you have films like, you know, Cuckoo's Nest, you have films like, you know, Interstellar, especially, that have all these different themes and these different ideas, but they round out very well, whereas this film tries to, but it stops short at every single plot point. It's ridiculous.
I think that Jupiter Ascending had a bit of potential to become a new kind of landmark science fiction film.
You reckon?
Just like, well, I mean, not in the same vein as Interstellar did.
I don't think,
but in the same vein as like The Fifth Element.
I don't think it tried to be groundbreaking. I think it was the Wachowskis just trying to be a little bit, as you say, indulgent with
CGI. I definitely think they were indulgent, but I honestly watched this movie and thought to myself, I wonder if the Wachowskis wanted this to be an iconic movie. Like, did they want it to be like a new science fiction kind of,
like a new Blade Runner?
Yeah, like a new Blade Runner. Because I got hints of them trying to channel Ridley Scott in the way that they portrayed this kind of dystopian capitalism to the extreme run. Futuristic alien society
/ fascism,
dictatorships,
everything, royalty as well. Yeah, so many different themes. They tried just to cover, but it's just ridiculous. They had no idea how to put it all into one story.
I think that the Wachowskis were constantly kind of trying to negotiate those ideas between making a film that is going to be this new science fiction, you know, icon or like signpost, versus making a film that people are going to want to see, like a film that is blockbustery and is going to get the crowds. And I think that one thing that Christopher Nolan did in Interstellar in terms of making it, one, an iconic science fiction piece, but then two, also getting people to come and see it, was just this idea of rounding out those ideas.
But at the same time, Christopher Nolan does have a reputation for being able to draw in crowds.
Yes.
He did it with Dark Knight, he did it with Dark Knight Rises, he did it with Inception. And now Interstellar, obviously, that's like four movies. One of them almost reached a billion, but the other three, I think, did reach a billion, right?
Yeah,
they did. So he's got $3 billion movies under his belt. He can draw in crowds, and people know they've got trust in him, they've got faith in him, that they will receive an incredibly well-rounded out film.
Christopher Nolan's one of those people who came out of the late 90s and went into the 2000s with I want to say consumer confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the fact that people will know who he is and kind of can trust that he can make good movies. And I think that one thing that the Wachowskis have that they really have just kind of let slide is that consumer confidence.
Well, because the 90s were their prime time.
The Matrix was huge. I remember when I was really little and The Matrix had just come out, that it was massive, that everybody was so into it, that it was just one of these groundbreaking films. And especially relevant to Australians.
Because it was filmed in Australia.
Yeah. But I think that what they've done is they've taken that, and they could have really, they could have really used that to come out on top.
They had a lot of things that they could have used. A lot of things that if they focused on those little ideas, on those little plots, then they could have used that to create something kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
But they just had too much going on that was in this mix of light and colour and CGI that just made this weird mess, like this really weird sort of trifle of things and components that didn't work well together.
And I mean, it's not like they didn't have good actors in the film. Like, Mila Kunis, we know she can act well, Black Swan. Channing Tatum, we know he can act.
Well, Foxcatcher?
Yeah, Foxcatcher. I mean, 21 Jump Street and 22 Jump Street in and of itself are stupid movies, but he was hilarious in those movies.
Yeah.
And then Eddie Redmayne is nominated for an Oscar.
It's absurd to me now that it comes out like just before the Oscars.
Yeah.
Like literally a few days before the Oscars airs.
Yeah.
And we see him in this really awkward, weird
train wreck of a movie. But I think that something that's really important to make a note of is that even if you're a good actor, you can only take a specific script to a certain level.
Yeah.
Like, even the best actor, if they're given a bad plot, if they're given unfinished ideas, if they're given, you know, terrible dialogue, they can't do much with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every actor, I don't know, I don't want to say every actor in Tommy Wiseau's The Room. I'm sure they're probably okay, but I just think that we know, like, history has proven that all of these guys can act.
Yeah.
But when you see this movie, you know that you just have such little faith after watching them. And so I think that, the Wachowskis have a little bit to answer for in terms of making that movie.
Look, I don't think this. I don't think Jupiter Ascending is going to do any damage to their careers at all.
No, because I don't think that they can really go lower.
No, I feel like they were just here to have a little bit of fun.
Yeah, a little bit indulgent. I think indulgent was the right word.
When Eddie Redmayne was here probably just to break into a sort of not biographic pick role, where he was kind of a bit more of the villain, a bit more of the... obviously in a sci-fi action film.
Yeah, he could have a little bit of fun with it.
Exactly.
Take it, like, not too seriously. I mean, we know that Eddie Redmayne probably didn't take it that seriously.
You reckon? I reckon he took it way too seriously.
Really? In terms of, like, modulating his voice.
He didn't have a middle ground with his voice. He was either whispering very much like this, or he was yelling like this.
Yeah.
He didn't have the middle ground there, and I feel like that was on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely could have been.
I think he took it way too seriously, where he thought that it was going to be, you know, the next big villain, the next Hans Gruber. But no, you chose the wrong project for that.
Yeah.
I apologize.
I definitely think, you know, leave the crazy maniacal villain roles to Christoph Waltz. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly right.
But like Eddie Redmayne is a very talented guy. He definitely does know what he's doing. But I just feel like that was very lost in this movie.
I think he was the only one with something to lose. But at the same time, yeah. I don't think him in this role was bad enough for him to force anything.
Well, I think that definitely the characters of Mila Kunis's character, Jupiter Jones, and Channing Tatum's character, was his name Kane Wise?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. they were both very shallow characters. They definitely, you could really only take them at face value.
Absolutely.
Which is one part of the reason that you just cannot relate to them at all.
Yeah. And also, there's really forced romance.
Yeah. There's literally no chemistry.
Mila Kunis forces it, actually, not Channing Tatum, which is kind of the general way movies go.
Yeah.
The man is the one who initiates it. But no, Mila Kunis actually initiates it.
I
appreciate.
She tried.
But just the way the script worked, it didn't figure it out.
It was as forced as Dakota Johnson and Jamie Dornan in 50 Shades of Grey.
Not quite. Let's not go that far.
I just think that, you know, seeing on-screen chemistry, like the chemistry that Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone had in Spider-Man, is just ruined me.
Yeah,
like that's like the level that like I want to judge on-screen romances by.
Yeah.
That has ruined me for other on-screen romances because that was just so real. It is real. I mean, it was real.
Well, yeah, exactly. I couldn't help but watching Channing Tatum and Mila Kunis kiss and be like, oh no, those two, they're both married to different people.
Yeah, exactly. Like Channing Tatum has two kids and Mila Kunis just gave birth to a daughter, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So. Right. I think that it was a little bit just jarring to watch them try and have that romance, especially since, like, you didn't feel it, and then at the end, it's very much like, I love you, no, I can't be with you, I love you, okay, that's cool, we're together now.
Yeah, like, and it comes down to the dialogue again. We said this last episode, that it has to be written perfectly for a good romance, and also you got to have plots that where you feel for the characters, you got to have not so much CGI, where it's your face is flooded with all this colour, and you're just like, what is going on?
Also, the special effects can be quite, sound effects.